What a wonderful start to worship. Thank you. We gather here on this really beautiful day. It's cooler, and we gather at these cooling waters of our baptism. These waters, like the cooler weather, are indeed refreshing. We're refreshed in the knowledge that we are God's beloved, refreshed in the knowledge that we are here with the family of faith that we love and serve. I bid you all a very, very warm welcome with these words. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? For the joy of worship and the company of the faithful.
We give thanks to you, O God.
For the strength to endure the hard places of life. For the courage to face the unknown future.
Give thanks to you, O God, for your faithful leading.
Let us worship God. Let us pray. Holy and ever-loving God, we give you thanks for this beautiful, fresh, new morning. You have called us to life. You have given us voices to sing your praise. You have given us hearts to love you. Thank you, God, for gathering us here today as this family of faith. Meet with us, each and every one. Speak into our hearts and into our lives, into our homes and into our daily living. Speak your word of hope, your word of comfort and challenge, and above all, your word that reminds us that we are indeed each and all your beloved children. So bless this time we share together and send us forth into your world, rejoicing and loving you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
And a very warm welcome into the house of God, and especially warm welcome is extended to you if you're visiting with us this morning. We bid you welcome. We invite you to sign the blue visitor's pads, which are at the end of the pews. If you pass them just throughout worship, that would be great. We like to know that you're here. We like you to know that you're also very welcome here. Through this door here is Ehrman Hall. Through there, after morning worship, there will be further fellowship, and you are invited to join us there for more fellowship and for refreshments. I draw your attention to a couple of announcements in the bulletin. First of all, the mark your calendar. A couple of weeks from now, on July 16th, wouldn't it be nice if we got a day like today to have our annual picnic? And it's going to be held at Lockwood Park, and the address is there, and worship will begin at 10 o'clock. If you want to bring a dish to pass, then through in Ehrman Hall, there will be a sign-up sheet, so please, if you could put your name down and put down what also you intend to bring to the picnic. Music and More continues on Thursday. We have those who are performing are laid out in the bulletin, which I did see a couple of minutes ago, and I've lost it, so there it is right there. Anli Nakayama and Fumi and Brett Lipschutz, as well as Corporate Downsizing, will be playing on Thursday. Please do come along. It's an hour-long concert. It really is a wonderful time of fellowship and of excellent, excellent music. So do come along and enjoy that free concert. I'm going to ask Bruce Armstrong to make another announcement.
Good morning. As you know, we have the parking on the 4th of July, and if you don't want to have to get up early to get here, this Sunday and next Sunday, if you see me and make a nice contribution, a generous contribution, you will have a reserved spot. So please see me at Ehrman Hall either this Sunday or next Sunday and guarantee that spot so you can show up and go, why is it full? It's because it's popular. So please see me and get your spot. Thank you.
Good morning. Would you please join me with the prayer of confession? Caring God, we confess to you that anxieties sometimes cloud our days. We worry about our families, we worry about the world, and we lack confidence in our own ability to cope. God, forgive our lack of faith in you. We confess that we fear to step out in faith and prefer to stick with who and what we know. Call us to go and proclaim the good news of your love. But we stay where we are, safely within our comfort zones. God, forgive us and grant us courage to live these days faithfully trusting you in all things. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that although we are not always faithful to you, you are faithful to us. Morning by morning, you raise us to a new day. You paint the beautiful sun in the sky to warm us. You let the soft, refreshing rain fall upon the earth to nourish and refresh both the earth and us. Morning by morning, you pour your grace and your love into our lives. And so we, your family of faith, offer to you our thanks. We ask you, God, to speak into our lives today. You know the needs with which we have gathered. You know the hopes and the fears of our hearts and of our lives. You know what we need even before we ask. And so, God, we pray. Speak to us this morning through the reading and the preaching of your word, through prayer, through song, through silence. Speak, God, and enable us to listen. And in listening, let us hear, and in hearing, let us act on the words that you speak into our lives. For this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We come to a part in the service which is always nice to honor and to celebrate. We have three graduates, but one of them actually lives here, and one of them is soon going to not live here. And we're going to be really sad to leave you, although I know that you're going to be back regularly. Andrea, would you like to come out that we might recognize you as our graduate this year? Please recognize Andrea. It's embarrassing, isn't it? Andrea, do you feel comfortable telling us what you're going to do once you leave Racine now that you're a high school graduate? And I think Mark's got a microphone here, because I'm sure the congregation know you because you stand up here and you play the most beautiful music. And I think most of us are hoping that you're going to do that at college. Is that right?
Yes, I am going to do that.
Do tell us about it. Tell us where you're going.
I'm going to Wartburg College in Iowa, and I'm going to be studying music education with an emphasis on strings.
Excellent. So what are your hopes for college? What are you looking forward to most?
Orchestra.
Orchestra. I'm glad that you didn't say recreation or going out to play or... That's great. Good. Are you just saying that because your mom's here?
Yeah. No.
So will you be staying in a dorm?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you sure?
Yeah.
I've just come back from 2 weeks in a dorm. That's why I'm walking like this. So, we hope you're going to come back and visit us. Are you?
Yeah.
Often?
I'll try.
You'll try? And Andrea is going to be playing at the final concert of Music and More?
Yeah.
Yeah? Could you maybe promise to play one more time for us, at least one more time before you go to college here and worship?
Sure.
Sure. You heard that, didn't you? You heard it first here. Andrea, this is your family of faith, and we send you with our blessings. But we also send you with a lot of gratitude for the way in which you have graced this family of faith. You have served on deacons, yeah? You've been on mission trips. You have played beautifully and wonderfully. And we all send you with our love, with our blessings. And, lest you forget us, we send you with a blanket so that when you wrap that around you, it is a very physical sign of the love and the care and the prayers of this family of faith that will wrap around you as you go off to college. Andrea, we wish you all the very, very best, and we pray that God will indeed bless you in the years ahead. Let us pray. I'll give that to you. Thank you. Thanks. Holy and ever-loving God, we give you thanks for Andrea. We thank you for the home and the family from which she comes, a home that has surrounded her with love, with blessing, with kindness, with grace. We thank you for the blessing that Andrea has been and continues to be within this family of faith. And we thank you, God, for the wonderful gift and talent with which you have blessed Andrea of being able to make beautiful and wonderful music to delight our senses, to raise our spirits. Thank you, God. We pray that as Andrea goes off to college, you may continue to bless her and that she may be a blessing to those who will hear her beautiful music down through the years. Go with her to college. Watch over her, guard her, and keep her, and cause her to know your presence beside her each and every moment of every day. God, hear these our prayers, which we offer as this family of faith on behalf of our beloved Andrea. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you, Andrea. Godspeed. God bless. We're now going to sing a new hymn, which is in the bulletin. And it seems a kind of an appropriate hymn to sing as someone goes off to college. And really, it's kind of for all of us, because every day is one more step along the world. And it tells us that we go in the company of the one who is with us always. So, Andrea, I hope that you know you go in the company of God.
Thank you.
So the last verse of that hymn, you are older than the world can be. So there's someone that isn't as old as the world can be, but someone, there are actually two people, but I just wanted to mention that someone over here is one day older today, and it's our beloved Mark. And I think we should sing happy birthday to the singer.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Mark, it's lovely to sing to you. It's not quite as good as you singing to us, but we want you to know how precious you are in this family of faith. We love having you here. Mark, as you know, Mark's mom is struggling at the moment, and the family have gathered around, and that's just wonderful. And Mark said that last night they sat with Adrian and they sang. Blessed moments, Mark. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you send your mom all our love and tell her that we sang to her little boy today.
I will. Thank you.
So, my sermon title, Don't Be a Doormat. Do you ever feel like a doormat? No? I like that. I like that sense of self. No. Some people are shaking their heads. I don't know, you're shaking your head saying, I'm trying to persuade myself that I'm not a doormat. The thing is that sometimes, you know, as Christians, as people of faith, we sometimes are led to believe that we should be doormats. You know, always be the ones who forgive, always be the ones who give in, always be the ones who love. Here's the thing, I don't actually think Jesus ever said, be a doormat. He didn't. You know, we used to have this hymn back in Scotland that was, Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And I think, I don't think Jesus was always gentle and meek and mild. Sometimes Jesus was firm, and he was firm when he had to be. Sometimes Jesus showed anger. And sometimes it's okay to be angry. Do you ever feel angry at the state of the world? Do you ever feel angry when you see injustice? I do. And I can't speak for Jesus, but I'm pretty certain Jesus feels pretty angry too. Jesus doesn't call us to be doormats. But Jesus did call us to go out into the world and to share the good news. And we're going to read about that in a couple of moments. And this passage is entitled, The Mission of the Twelve. This is where Jesus tells the disciples to go out. To go out first and foremost to the lost people of Israel. Not to go to the Samaritans, not to go to the Gentiles, but begin where you are. Right where you are. You know, sometimes people have a little bit of a criticism about us going to Cuba. I don't hear it really much, but I could see why you might say, well, why would you go to Cuba? Well, the thing is, we also go close by. We go to people close by with the good news by feeding people, by offering music, by helping people. It's not with Jesus either or, it's both and. A couple of weeks ago, Jesus said, go to the ends of the earth. Now he's saying, just go to those round about you. We don't have a choice. It's not an either or of who we share the good news with, it's all. And Jesus tells the disciples to go out. He says to them, go out in twos. I like that. Don't go on your own. Jesus knew there's a big bad world out there. Nothing's changed. And Jesus, when he sent out the disciples, you'll notice this in this passage, that he doesn't say, go and ask them if they can confess me as Lord and Savior. Don't go and ask them, are you born again? Because we know, you know, that that's what people see as being the benchmark for being saved. Actually, Jesus doesn't actually say that. what he says is, go and care for people. That's it. Go and care for the sick. Go and care for the lepers. Raise those who are dead. Care for the vulnerable. That's what Jesus says. Do you know that at the very heart of the Christian gospel is this whole idea of welcome and of hospitality, both the giving of hospitality and the receiving of it? Hospitality. In the early church, way back in the 3rd and 4th century, what the church was persecuted for was because it was too hospitable. It was too hospitable, and that was what made it a threat to the authorities. These folks are being kind, and they're being kind to the poor, and they're being kind to the vulnerable. Oh, I wish the church was persecuted today for that. For caring for the poor and the vulnerable and the sick. At the very heart of the gospel is about being hospitable and welcoming. That's what it's about. You know these signs that you see outside of churches? I think signs outside of churches are hilarious. There was a sign outside of a church in St. Paul, Minnesota, in the middle of winter. And you could just see a little bit of the sign because the snow was piled high. And the sign said, whoever's praying for snow, will you please stop? Signs are interesting. Are the signs welcoming or are they not? Lots of signs are signs that talk about hell. One sign said, do you know what hell is? And underneath it said, come and hear our pastor preach. I think I probably told you this story before. For me, it captures churches and their signs. And I'm sure I've told you this before, so please forgive me. I was driving through a very small town in Louisiana many years ago, and it was one of these one-street towns. And on every corner, as you often find in towns, especially little towns, there is every single brand of church that you can imagine. And as I drove through this little town, they had all these signs outside the Baptist church. Everyone welcome. The Methodist church, families welcome, and all these welcoming signs. And I came to the Presbyterian church, and the sign outside said, keep off the grass. We're just not always that welcoming. Stay away. And yet at the very heart of the gospel is welcome. Jesus says, go to the places where you're welcomed. And he says, go. And show hospitality and love and care and kindness. I don't know about you, but care and kindness kind of in short supply these days, are they not? Just gentleness and care and kindness for the other. I heard, first of all, on the radio, and then I saw the video, which some of you may have seen, of the road rage incident in California. Did you see it? Motorcyclists going along the freeway. I don't know what happened just before this, but the motorcyclist puts his foot out, boom, and kicks the car as he's overtaking the car. The car then, or the driver of the car, isn't the car, let's not blame the car, it's the driver of the car, swerves his car into the motorcyclist, but swerves too far and hits the central barrier. Bounces off the central barrier and ricochets across three lanes of the highway. And this poor driver of an SUV slams into him. The SUV flips over and slides along the interstate. Goodness knows how many injuries. Road rage, pure and simple. And I think that points to the fact that in our society there's a lack of care and of kindness. We're quick to be angry. We're quick to lash out. We're quick to point the finger of blame at someone. We're quick to ask for our rights and slow to think about our responsibilities of people of faith. To be kind, to be caring, to be different. Let us hear the word of God in Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew chapter 10, reading from verse 5. Let us hear the word of God. These 12, the disciples, Jesus sent out with the following instructions: Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim the good news: The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for the journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it is not worthy, let your peace return to it. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Amen, and thanks be to God. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Not really. Pretty firm talking. Pretty firm stuff. And pretty clear. There's a story told of a little boy who was working on his speak and spell computer. So he would speak the word and the computer would spell it back to him. And he thought he would try something, so he spoke the word God. Computer said, word not found. So a second time the little boy said, God. The computer answered, word not found. This happened a third time. The little boy sighed and he said, Jesus isn't going to like this. You know, sometimes we think that we know what Jesus would like. We put words into Jesus' mouth, words that normally suit our own agendas and our own beliefs. Rather than our putting words into Jesus' mouth, perhaps we ought to listen more clearly to the words that came out of Jesus' mouth. And it's this: tell them that the good news is near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You might say, well, we don't believe in demons nowadays. Which is true. But I don't know about you, but I've got my demons. I've got my things that I know I need to shake off. We have our demons. We have the things of which we are not proud. There are people that we know who have the demons of addiction. There are people that we know that have the demons of carrying around with them a very, very heavy burden from the past. And we have a cure for that: the forgiving, loving grace of God, who says, let it go. Let your demons go. Raise the dead. Well, most of us are not going to go around the cemeteries in Racine and raise the dead. But I suspect there are some people that we come across in life who are dead. They're dead to hope. And my goodness, when you see what's going on in the world, you can hardly blame people for being dead to hope in the future. And those who are dead to hope, we can say, do you know what? There is hope. Because no matter what you see happening in the world, we believe in a God who still loves and cares for this world, and in whom we find our hope. That what we see happening right now, with all the terror and all the destruction and all the violence, will not and cannot have the last word. We raise those who are dead to hope, to new life by saying we believe in a God who's still here and who still loves this world. You know something? Jesus doesn't say, go and ask these people if they're born again. Go and ask them if they've accepted me as their personal Savior and Lord. What he says is, go and care for people. Care for people right where they are. Address people's needs right where they are. Show welcome and hospitality and kindness. It goes a long way. During this last week, I heard from a family of the first church that I served back in Scotland. And I heard that this lady whom I had known extremely well had died on Monday morning, and her son wrote to tell me. And we've exchanged emails back and forward this week. And as I was thinking about this lady and her husband who died 10 years ago, do you know what really struck me? And this is what I wrote to her son as he grieved the loss of his last parent. I said, do you know the one thing? Of all the wonderful memories that I have of your mom and dad, the one thing that I remember most is this, that as a young pastor, they welcomed me. They welcomed me into their home, and they cared. That's what I remember. I don't really remember too much of what they said to me, although I'm sure they spoke wise words, and I know they did. But what mattered was how they made me feel. I remembered that, and I always will. And surely that is the command of Jesus, to go out and care about how people feel. Care about the poor and the vulnerable and the sick and those who don't have a voice for themselves. That's what we are called to do. Not to be a doormat. Jesus says, if you're not accepted, shake the dust off your feet, move on. Don't flog a dead horse. But at least try. At least try to show kindness. It goes a long way. Address people's needs. It is the mark of a civilized society. It's the mark of a Christian society. Is that who we are? There's a lady called Margaret Mead who is an anthropologist, and this anthropologist was giving a lecture. And as Margaret Mead lectured, one of the students asked her, "What have you discovered in looking at primitive cultures? What have you discovered that is for you the sign of a civilized society? In all your discoveries, what did you dig up that showed the society was civilized?" And she said that the student expected that she was going to say a fish hook for fishing to feed, or perhaps some nice earthenware piece of pottery. And Margaret Mead answered this. She said, "The thing that I discovered, the earliest thing that I discovered that told me that the society was civilized was a healed femur bone. A healed femur bone." And she went on to explain, she said, "The law of the jungle is such that it's survival of the fittest, and if you break a bone, tough. But," she said, "when I discovered a healed femur bone, I knew that that was a civilized society. Because for that bone to heal meant that someone else was helping that person by doing the hunting and the gathering. Someone cared." Caring for others, for their healing and for their wholeness and for their well-being, is the mark of a civilized society. Jesus says, don't be a doormat, but care. Care. Thanks be to God. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Would you greet one another in peace?
Happy, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Could I ask the ushers to please uplift the offering? Please be seated. We turn to God with our prayers, and there are prayer concerns mentioned in our bulletin. We continue to pray for these people. I ask you to take the bulletin home, and as you're praying at home, to remember the names of those who are mentioned in the bulletin as you say your prayers. Each and every day we offer up to God these prayers for this family of faith, those who are known to us and those who are known alone to God. We give thanks for answered prayer and for Julia Reeser, who's back in our midst this morning. Julia, it's absolutely wonderful to see you. Welcome back home to this family of faith. Continue to be patient, though. Let us pray. Dear God, as we gather as your people here in this place that is sanctuary, we thank you. We thank you for a family of faith. People gathered together here seeking to love you and to serve you, seeking your wisdom and your guidance as we journey through life. We thank you, God, that you have brought us safely to this moment. We thank you for those who have gone before us, those who have kept the faith, those who have offered to us warmth and kindness and care, those who have blessed and enriched our life simply by their being in our life. And so for them we offer our thanks and our praise. We thank you, God. We thank you for the gift of faith that allows us to endure. For we confess, God, that sometimes we feel dead to hope. We know that we need our hope and our strength renewed, and in you we find this renewal. We know that we need to be healed of the things that haunt us and worry us. And we know that we need healing of body, mind, and spirit. And God, we turn to you, knowing that you do not turn us away, but that you hear our prayers, and that you give us strength sufficient for the day and for the demands of life. God, help us to care for others, to show acts of kindness that may even in some small way transform the life of another. Help us, God, to be kind and caring, to reach out to others with a healing touch, a loving embrace, a kind word. God, hear our prayers for those within this family of faith who need your healing touch and your comforting companionship. Be with those who need to feel your presence close, so that when their own strength fails them, they know that they can turn to you. Be with all who grieve and who mourn. Be with all who struggle. Be with each and every one of us, and with us, those who are dear to our hearts, whether near or far. Dear God, hear the prayers of our lives, and hear our prayer for this world to which your Son came. Continue to raise up people who will be kind and caring. Continue to work through relief agencies, to work through ordinary women and men and children, to pour your hope and your grace into this world. As we pray for the world and for peace and for unity and for hope and for healing. And hear us now as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when we are together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. into the world alone, in twos, threes. Go into the world as a family of faith. Go into the world to do what Jesus commanded, to love and to care for others, even as God has loved and cared for each and every one of you. And as you go, may the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may these blessings descend upon you and rest and remain with you. Fill your heart and your life with joy and with peace. And may these blessings also rest upon all of God's people everywhere, now and forevermore. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.